This is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Bankovic.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Bankovic, and I am delighted to be with you today. You know I am, because I tell you that every morning, Monday through Saturday. And why is that? Because it's true. I tell you that because it's true. We just love being with you right here. Do want to give you a couple of numbers that you can use to join us live here on Women of Grace Live as we have holy conversation together and discuss how it is that we can live that abundant life in our Lord Jesus Christ and bring that abundant life to others. That's what we're about right here on Women of Grace Live. If you're in North America, please do use this number. It is 800-585-9396. That's 800-585-9396. Yep, that's the way you can join us live here if you are in North America. Outside of North America, we've got a number for you too. We do, and it begins with the country code. That country code is 1-205-271-2985, country code 1-205-271-2985. And what a joy it is to hear from you, no matter where in the world you are. As a matter of fact, no matter where in the world you are, EWTN is with you. Yep, EWTN Radio is available to you just everywhere. We invite you to get out there and check out the EWTN app. May I say that it is one of the very best features I have on my phone, and I'm quite certain that if you get the app, you're going to love it too, because you can listen to this live stream wherever you go. In addition to that, you can watch EWTN television wherever you go. So many podcasts that are there for you, categorized all according to the hosts that you like to hear. And in addition to that, you've got all kinds of good resources that will help you to move forward in this life of faith and union with our Lord Jesus Christ. Whoopee, hallelujah, glory be. We like it, right? So get that EWTN app. Well, you know, lots is going on in my little world. I mean, I can't even begin to tell you everything that's going on in my little world, but something is happening this evening that I'm very excited about. I am going to be in Pinellas Park, Florida. Now, for you that are listening to us via 102.1 FM, we invite you to join us there this evening. And I just want to say, I don't care if you're not listening to us that way, just get into your car and truck on over and be with us there. We are going to be at Sacred Heart Catholic Church this evening. Father Anthony Coppola is the pastor there. And what's going to be happening? Well, it is going to be a beautiful evening that celebrates the existence of Peace Be With You Radio 102.1 FM right here in my own area of Florida. We invite you to join us there as we discuss the importance of Catholic radio, tell you how you can participate in Catholic radio, and let me just say this, eat a delicious meal together. Oh, yeah. If nothing brings you in but the food, may it be that way, because God's got something in mind for you. And let me tell you, you will be abundantly blessed. Did you know that our own bishop is going to be there, Bishop Gregory Parks? We are so eager to have him join us for this beautiful event. I'm eager to see him again. Wonderful man of God. Great, great gift to us here in the Diocese of St. Petersburg. Looking forward to having some chit-chat with him. And of course, Father Anthony Coppola is going to be there. Yours truly is going to be there too. So I'm hoping that you'll show up right there at Sacred Heart Catholic Church, where we can have this opportunity to be together. WPBW LP is the call letters of that station. Looking forward to sharing this time with you. It begins tonight at 6:30, and that is Sacred Heart Catholic Church right down there in the Pinellas Park area. Look it up, put it into your phone, let Siri guide you wherever it is that you may need to go. I don't know that she'll guide you to heaven, though. I think only Our Lady can do that, just thinking. And nonetheless, we're looking forward to being with you there. I want to also mention another place I'm going to be, and that is going to be in Houston, Texas. Looking forward to that. November the 7th is when I am going to be there. You know, that is going to be here in a heartbeat. I cannot get over it. I mean, you know, really and truly, when you think about it, November is knocking on our door. I don't know where the time flies. November 7th. KSHJ, Fishers of Men Dinner, is going to be held right there at the Junior League of Houston. I believe that's in the Galleria. Just saying, I love the Galleria, but oh, for so many reasons. This is the biggest, though, coming up, the fourth annual KSHJ Fishers of Men event that's going to take place. It is an elegant evening. It's a powerful evening. I'm going to be the keynote speaker. We've got the Cardinal is coming. Yes, Daniel Cardinal DiNardo is going to be there. We're going to be celebrating Bishop Stephen Lopez. He is the honoree free for this event. And I got to just tell you, it's going to be so, so very beautiful. I'm hoping you'll join me there at the Junior League in Houston, Texas, November 7th, 2017. It's going to be right here very quickly for the Fishers of Men dinner. We look forward to hearing from you for that too. Well, you know what? We have a special guest today. You know, we don't often do a lot of interviews here on Women of Grace live radio. We really kind of save that for the television program Women of Grace, but I am so excited about today's guest. So excited that the book she has penned with Dan Burke is going to be the topic of our discussion. October, as you know, is the month of the Rosary. We're coming to the close of that reality for this month of October in 2017. How could we not close it out with a reminder that we are called to pray the Rosary? We are. And if you remember our Blessed Lady's admonition to us and request, I mean, she's so gracious. You know, I mean, this mother of ours is so gracious. She gives us a directive, but yet, you know, she couches it in such beautiful, beautiful language, always by way of invitation, because like her son, like Father God, like the Holy Spirit, she will never impose her will upon ours. She won't. She will always invite us. And when Our Lady invites us, she's always inviting us to something greater, more beautiful, more wonderful than we could hope for or imagine. I can tell you that for certain, because I've experienced that time and again in my own life. And so Our Blessed Lady invites us to pray the Rosary because wonders of grace await us in the Rosary. It's true. It's absolutely true. Every single bead that we pray is like a nuclear explosion of grace. Just imagine that. Just imagine. This is so true. It is like a nuclear explosion of grace in the heavenlies. It just sets off a whole chain of realities that may well be beyond our comprehension and our ability to see, but nonetheless are so very true. And this is why she invites us at Fatima to pray the Rosary every day, because she knows, Our Lady knows what it does. And you recall that she told the children in Fatima, those little shepherd children, you know, complete change of world situations can happen when we pray the Rosary. I sometimes wonder to myself, and I'm not going to go off on a big harangue here, but a little harangue. I sometimes wonder to myself, if every Catholic in the world prayed the Rosary every day, and listen, I know that situations come up, right? Situations happen, and sometimes we just can't quite get to it. But, you know, if we took that message to heart and we all began to pray the Rosary every day, I just wonder what would happen. Don't you? I mean, that's a curiosity of my soul that I have. What would happen if every Catholic today heeded that message, right? Heeded it. I think that within nanoseconds, I truly believe that, nanoseconds, we would see remarkable results. Mind-boggling. Results that can only come from the heavenlies. You know what I'm saying? I just can't begin to imagine. But through the gift of the imagination, Our Lady invites us to see, and she'll begin to show us. Now, this whole business of praying the Rosary can seem to be a rather laborious process, and yeah, it's a long prayer, but our guest today is going to give us some solutions on how it is that we can stay attentive to this prayer. She's going to give us some practical tips on how we can enter into it more deeply. Well, I hope that I've set this up enough to make you curious and to keep you listening, because I'll tell you, you are going to be thrilled to hear what Connie Rossini has to share with us as she discusses the book that she wrote with Dan Burke, The Contemplative Rosary with St. John Paul II and St. Teresa of Avila. You've heard us really promoting the book, and it's been a pleasure to do that. Now we have the pleasure of bringing you one of the co-authors. We're going to go to a break. When we come back, more here live on Women of Grace Live. Do me a favor. Bring me joy this day. Do you know how you bring me joy? You bring me joy by calling us right here, 800-800. 800-585-9396. That's 800-585-9396. Light up my life. Light up our board. Join us here with Connie Rossini when we come back from our break. We'll be right back.
The EWTN Warriors Rosary is a fitting tribute to all the spiritual warriors who have stood by us over the years. Handcrafted, each rosary is a unique creation. Get yours today. Visit EWTNRC.com.
Divine Intimacy Radio.
When you engage with the wisdom of saints this way, it stokes the fires of God in our hearts, encourages us, strengthens us, and gives us wisdom to deal with the difficulties of life. It also gives us wisdom that allows us to rise above all of the junk, to live with joy and peace in the midst of even the most difficult circumstances.
Divine Intimacy Radio, Sunday, 6:30 a.m., 1:30 p.m., and 11 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
October 27th. Charles de Foucauld said, "We are pilgrims and strangers on earth. Pilgrims sleep in tents and sometimes cross deserts, but the thought of their homeland makes them forget everything else." Let us reflect. To what extent does my thought of heaven help to make my struggles in life more bearable? Hint: counting how many times a day I complain is a good indication.
If you'd like to receive a daily Grace Line by email, go to womenofgrace.com and click on the word Grace Line. Then click on the box Receive Grace Lines. That's womenofgrace.com.
Hi, this is Anna Mitchell, host of the Sunrise Morning Show.
This is John Martinoni, host of EWTN Open Line Monday.
Hi, this is Barbara McWiggin. Thanks for listening to the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Transforming the world one woman at a time. Let's return to Women of Grace with Johnette Bankovic.
Welcome back, friends. You are listening to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Bankovic, and I am so delighted to be with you today because we've got a special guest for you. I want to give you the numbers again that you can use to give us a call right here on Women of Grace Live. You can call us at 800-585-9396. That's 800-585-9396. That is the number to use if you are here in North America. If you're not in North America, oh, please do not despair. We've got a number for you, too. It's country code 1-205-271-2985. I absolutely want to remind you that we are with you via EWTN's social media. We are. Get out there to EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page, and you can actually see us. Yes, that's always fun. You can get out there and do that. The good news, too, is that you can submit your questions, comments, insights, or inspirations, words of encouragement, right there through social media. Jeff Burson, who is producing for us today. We're so excited. Jeff Burson, lovely person, is with us. He is part of our team always, but now he's sitting in that producer's chair as well, and he is managing social media too. He's managing everything today except for our call screening, I think. I don't know, but I'm thinking Matt Gabinski is with us for that, and what a joy it is always to have Matt take care of that big part of what makes Women of Grace Live what it is. So we invite you to call us at 800-585-9396 or get out there to EWTN Radio's YouTube channel, Facebook page. Did you know you can text us too? There's no excuse for you not showing up here today. Just saying. EWTN's a beautiful way of texting us. Text EWTN to 55000. That's EWTN to 55000. Connie Rossini is with us. Yes, she is. She has written this beautiful book. This beautiful book is called The Contemplative Rosary. For those of you that are out there on social media, yours truly is holding it up for you to see. Tough for me to know if it's in the lens, but I'm thinking it must be. And here it is. Look how lovely that cover is. I'll tell you, beautifully done. EWTN Publishing does such nice work. And it's The Contemplative Rosary with St. John Paul II and Saint Teresa of Avila. Now, I shared with you that Connie penned this with our own Dan Burke. What a beautiful thing. And it says this on the back of the book. I just want to read this for a moment before Connie comes on board with us right here. To look upon the face of Christ is the task of every follower of Christ. I don't know. Did you know that's your task? To look upon the face of Christ is the task of every follower of Christ, and there is no better way to contemplate the life of Christ than through the rosary. Reminds me of what St. John Paul II, one of our guides through this book, tells us, and he invites us to contemplate the face of Jesus through the eyes of Mary. That's what the rosary does. That's why this book is so important. It helps us do that. Want to mention to you that this book is available for you at EWTNRC.com. That is the website of EWTN's religious catalog. That's EWTNRC.com. Get on out there. Order a copy today. You know, Christmas is coming. What a beautiful thing to do. I don't know if you exchange little things for Thanksgiving or not, but, you know, I would really encourage you to consider purchasing this book in bulk, sharing it with family and friends. Connie Rossini, welcome, welcome, welcome to Women of Grace Live. It's so good to have you with us. Thank you.
Thank you, Janet.
Yeah, you know, this is a lovely book, beautifully composed. One of the features of it that is so nice, the quality of the paper. You know, I'm a very tactile person. You know, I like the feel of things in my fingers because it tells me, communicates something to me about the worth and value of things. And so when you touch the pages of this book, you know that this book has great merit just by the feel of it. But it's also populated, if you will, with full color pictures that help for us to enter into the life of our Lord Jesus Christ via the rosary. So we can meditate on the picture that we're looking at that really becomes a beautiful visual aid to helping us to understand and explore those beautiful mysteries. So I'm giving you some demonstrations if you're out there on social media so that you can see. If you're not, those of you listening, take my word for it. It is beautifully, beautifully done. So Connie, tell me a little bit about the inspiration that you and Dan had for presenting this book.
Well, 15 years ago yesterday, actually, Pope John Paul II came out with an encyclical on the Most Holy Rosary, Rosarium Reginus Mariae, mm-hmm. and at that time, the National Catholic Register had created a guide to the rosary that was very popular, and Dan wanted to resurrect that, update it, kind of present it to a new generation, mm-hmm. and then also talk about how what St. Teresa of Avila in particular said about the way that vocal prayer can prepare us for infused contemplation. Since I write a lot on the Carmelite saints, he asked me to join with him in the project, and I'm so glad that he did so because it's really transformed my own praying of the rosary since I began studying it and then using the helps that we came up with.
Yeah, you know, I don't often think that we put together as a tag team vocal prayer with contemplative prayer. But there is something about that full expression of vocal prayer, whether it comes in the form of the rosary being prayed out loud or whether it comes in the way of praising God and just lifting our hearts and our minds to Him and extolling Him and, you know, just calling upon the beautiful reality of Him with us and thanking Him for everything. That's one of my favorite ways of even entering into the rosary is praising the Lord first, thanking Him, worshiping Him, you know, or whether it comes through just the spontaneous utterance of prayer that can come through words that we know, or may I say, being of charismatic background, through words of tongues, you know, just opening ourselves up to that. But that in a certain way begins to dilate the heart to lead us more deeply into contemplative prayer. But a lot of people, Connie, and you handle this and deal with this in the book, a lot of people confuse meditative prayer with contemplative prayer. Can you explain the difference for us?
Yes, that is one of the most common confusions. Meditative prayer is when we take the truths of the faith or particularly sacred scripture, we read it prayerfully, we think about it, and then we enter into a conversation with God about mm-hmm. it. That is meditation. Contemplation is something that is really God's activity in us. So when we have prepared ourselves through faithfulness to prayer, through doing God's will to the full extent that we are able throughout our entire day, then God draws near to us. And He, in contemplative prayer, He lifts us up and infuses us, meaning He breathes His spirit into us. and gives us an intimacy with him and a knowledge of him, an experiential knowledge of him, that we could never get through any method or any practice of our own.
Yes. Yeah, it's a very different matter. I think it, you know, in Carmelite spirituality, and you correct me, Connie, because you're the Carmelite here, not I, but I have a penchant for, it's one of the spiritualities that affects me very deeply. We're so blessed in the church to have so very many. But within the Carmelite dimension, you know, this whole concept of contemplative prayer would probably come around the mansion where St. Teresa of Avila talks to us about the fact that, you know, at first we're working really hard, but then what happens is, you know, Father God takes over, the Holy Spirit takes over, and what, you know, the work is being done by God, no longer by us. Our effort decreases and his presence increases within us. And it's a beautiful changeover. And it comes slowly, doesn't it? It doesn't come like in full force. There's little inklings of it happening that can catch us by surprise, right?
Yes. You know, as you practice meditation, that slowly simplifies so that you're spending less time reading, more time sitting in adoration of Christ in silence, mm-hmm. just loving him, looking on him with a gaze of love. And slowly God begins to give you that infused prayer that at first you probably won't even realize that anything supernatural is happening. But then later, as it becomes more full-blown and your contemplative prayer deepens, you can look back and say, oh, I've really been experiencing this bit by bit for a long time.
Yes.
And, it's kind of, when you talk about the mansions, it's really that transition between the purgative way and the illuminative way, the transition between the third and the fourth of Teresa's mansions mm-hmm. is where the contemplation begins.
That's right. And I guess the word to all of you today, I'm just thinking about this right now because this is invitation from the Lord, you know, is to begin. It doesn't matter where you begin. Just begin. And it doesn't matter, you know, I like to remind people, Connie, and see what you think about this, that, you know, no matter where we are in terms of our spiritual growth and maturity, that all of those movements, you know, and all of those aspects of the spiritual life still remain intact. We can be in the illuminative phase and there'll be moments and opportunities for more purgation. We can be in the beginnings of the unitive phase, and still have need. God will still visit us with illumination and sometimes purgation. So all of them are always active in the soul, but it's the predominance of where we are at a given stage that really kind of identifies for us. Sometimes hard for us to identify, much more easily for a spiritual director, somebody that's been walking with us on the spiritual path, even a spiritual companion, to be able to identify for us. Am I right?
Yes, I would agree. And I think one of the beauties of this book is that it brings the idea, at least in the goal of contemplation, mm-hmm. to not only to those who have been praying mental prayer, let's say, for a long time, but to people who maybe have never prayed anything beyond mm-hmm. their vocal prayers, or people who are just beginning to try and say the rosary daily,
that's right.
to give them a goal to work toward and to realize that they can receive that gift of contemplation at, you know, any point that they are in their life,
right.
as long as they give themselves totally and completely to God.
That's what we have to do. And this total surrender to God obviously requires that we spend time with him. And so the rosary is excellent because the prayer in and of itself requires us to spend time. You can't gallop through the rosary, you know. And you know, I appreciate praying the rosary in the car. I do that. I appreciate, praying the rosary in intervals through the course of the day. Sometimes I have to do that. But the fact of the matter is, if we plan a block of time to pray the rosary and enter into this school of Mary, which I want us to talk about as well, then great things can happen. And the book that we're referring to, friends, our guest, Connie Rossini, co-author of the book, The Contemplative Rosary with St. John Paul II and St. Teresa of Avila, co-authored along with Dan Burke, available for you at EWTNRC.com. That's EWTN's religious catalog website, EWTNRC.com. It's a great book. It's a beautiful book. I just think it's a lovely book to have and to give as a gift to others. And guess what? If you purchase it for yourself, you're gifting yourself. You really are. And you're gifting yourself with insight and inspiration and instruction on how you can enter more deeply into this prayer and let Mary guide you. Phone lines lighting up so nicely, asking you all to just hold on for us. Maybe we'll get a chance to take a call or so, but I want to get this into this portion of the program so that we can cover all of our bases as well as we can before we go to the phone lines. But stack on up, because you come in order. As your calls come in, they are in order, and we go first, second, third, etc. So I'm inviting you, please, please, please call in. If you're outside of North America, you just float right to the head of the line. I'm just saying. So here are the numbers for you again. If you are in North America, 1-800-585-9396. It's 800-585-9396. Please do give us a call if you're in North America using that number, 800-585-9396. If you're outside of North America now, here's your number, country code 1-205-271-2985. So, Connie, let's talk about that now. St. John Paul II, in that beautiful apostolic letter that you quoted to us on the rosary of the Blessed Virgin Mary, he quotes to us and says that we need to enter into Mary's school. And that touches my heart so deeply. I love that. And I love to contemplate just what that means. So let's do that a little bit out loud today. And let's just offer everyone just some thoughts about what that means to enter into Mary's school.
Yes, I love that too. And I am a homeschool mom. So for me as a homeschool mom, it makes me think of Mary sitting in a rocking chair. And she's surrounded by all her children, which is, of course, us, and she's telling them stories. And what stories would Mary share with her children? Of course, it would be the stories of Jesus. And so when we enter the rosary, we enter the school of Mary, it's as though Mary herself is instructing us. She's telling us, sharing with us her memories of what it was like to be there at the Annunciation, of what it was like to be there at the crucifixion, and all the things that she treasured in her heart that God did for us and for her. She was always contemplating Christ and literally looking on the face of Christ, you know, as he lay in the manger and the other events in his life, and she shares that with us so that we then are able to see Christ through her perspective and see Christ through her own eyes.
Yeah, you know, and it, those of you that listen to Women of Grace Live regularly, you've heard this before, haven't you? Because we talk about this, and we talk about how it is that our Blessed Lady is our spiritual mother. She wants to direct and guide us. That is her maternal role. If you're a woman, that is your maternal role for your children, to direct and to guide them to life on high in Christ Jesus. If you're a father of children, spiritual father is also part of your call as their biological dad to lead them in the way in which they should go. If you have no children, your call as spiritual mother and your call as spiritual father is not diminished in any way. You are called to enter into it more fully, and God will entrust you with individuals throughout the course of your day that you are called to spiritually parent. And we take that as very serious. So Connie, share with us just a little bit on how it is that we perceive this instruction of Our Lady, and how it is that we respond to that instruction. What does that instruction look like? And as a good student, what do we then do?
Well, I think this is where the mysteries of the rosary come in. So the mysteries are made for us to give the mind something to ponder and to draw us in closer to Christ. So many of these mysteries, of course, Mary takes a prime part in. What's interesting is the mysteries that John Paul II introduced, the luminous mysteries. Mary is really only in one of them, the wedding at Cana, but she says something there. The one line that she says is so important, and it really informs the whole way that we should see the rosary and what the message that she wants to get across to us is, do whatever he tells you.
Amen.
And if we listen to that, we listen to that message of Mary at the wedding of Cana, we can apply that too to all of the different mysteries that we meditate upon thinking, okay, what does the Lord want to tell me through this mystery today?
And we're going to hold it right there, Connie. We're going to hold it right there because we're going to a break. So there's a question for you to begin to ponder as we go to the break. What does Mary want you to ponder today in light of following and doing whatever Jesus tells you? Connie Rossini, our guest, we're coming right back at you after the break. Stay tuned. Call us, 800-585-9396. We'll be right back.
Wings is the weekly newsletter that's packed with program info, features, and updates of all that's going on at the Global Catholic Network. Just go to EWTN.com/wings. Fill out your name and email address, and you'll start getting your wings every week. When you get yours, send it to all your friends, and they can send it to their friends. And pretty soon, we're covering the whole world with the good news about EWTN. Wings, the weekly newsletter from EWTN, the Global Catholic Network.
We all have a tendency to mull things over again and again when we're upset. We recite litanies of negativity to ourselves. If someone called you up to whine all the time, you'd eventually hang up the phone, right? When your inner voice becomes a whiner, when you find yourself repeating the same problems to yourself in different ways all day long, it's not doing you any good. Hang up the phone. But what if the problems I'm upset about are real, you say? Well, that's fine. Deal with them. Just don't stare at them all day. Look, when I go for a walk, the sun is real and it's big. But if I stare at it, not only will I miss the beautiful world around me, it'll fry my retinas. You need to choose which part of reality you're going to stare at. And the default setting for a child of God should be setting your eyes on things that lift you up to heaven, not things that drag you down. This is Chris Stefanik from RealLifeCatholic.com on EWTN Radio.
EWTN, helping people grow in their love and understanding of God.
You know, I didn't want to hurt my child. It's not what was happening in my mind at that time. It was just all the fear and the panic. And you've got Planned Parenthood telling you it's not a baby, and it just gets all so confusing. But I'm here to speak out that the aftermath of abortion is not worth it, because I cry every day for my children.
EWTN, live truth, live Catholic.
The Women of Grace phone lines are open, 1-800-585-9396.
Welcome back, friends. You are listening to Women of Grace Live. I am Jonette Benkovic, so very happy to be with you today. Inviting you to give us a call. I got to tell you, the phone lines are just about all full. We have one open for you here. Let me give you the number. It is 800-585-9396. It's 800-585-9396. Our guest today, unusual for us here, but so happy to have her, Connie Rossini, is with us. She is talking with us about the book that she penned along with Dan Burke called The Contemplative Rosary with St. John Paul II and St. Teresa of Avila, holding it up here for you to see. If you're out there on EWTN Radio's social media, EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page, we've got questions coming in that way too. We're going to go to the phone lines and we'll pick up one or two from the social media end of things and back to the phone lines. I think that's the pattern that we'll use. First up for us here today is, who do we have first here? We've got Jill is with us, and Jill's been holding for almost the beginning of the show. Good morning, Jill. How are you, honey? Hi, Jill. Jill, you've been holding, baby. Are you there?
Hello?
Hi, Jill. How are you? Hi, you're on the air.
I'm good. How are you?
I'm very well. Thank you for asking. What's going on with you today out there in Battle Creek, Michigan?
Yeah, I have a question about birth control.
Okay.
I was diagnosed with polycystic ovarian syndrome, and I have been advised by my OB to be on birth control.
Okay.
And I'm kind of struggling with that. She says that that's the only way that it will regulate my body, and I will have a higher risk of uterine cancer and all that kind of stuff if I can't get my body regulated.
Okay, Jill. Let me ask you this question. Is your OB-GYN a natural family planning doctor?
No.
Okay, so that's the first thing you want to do, is find a natural family planning doctor in your area. You can go out to, I think it's One More Soul's website. I don't know what the exact address is, the URL is for that. But if you just do a search on your search engine, One More Soul, there's an opportunity there for you to put in your zip code and it will direct you to a natural family doctor. Doctors today are schooled in medical school that whose boards are comprised of pharmaceutical company representatives. And just about the only thing that they learn as a remedy for any female problem is the birth control pill. It is the panacea for everything. What that has done is in a large measure, shut down diagnostic work to get to the root of the problem and solve the problem, not medicate the symptom, which is what the birth control does. Okay, the birth control pill medicates the symptom. It does not solve the problem. You can get a lot of information on this. NAPRO technology is the way to go. Natural family planning doctors know about NAPRO technology. You want to get online and go out there and search out the Pope Paul VI Institute in Omaha, Nebraska. Pope Paul VI Institute in Omaha, Nebraska. And you'll learn about NAPRO technology. They even have counselors there that can work with you as you go through this process of trying to remedy your situation. And until all of that is exhausted, I would not go on the pill. We also know, however, that you can use the pill as a medication if the decision and if the, you know, motivation for using it is not to stop the conception of a child. But you know full well that that is what's going to happen. And every conjugal action, every conjugal act, the marital act itself, must be oriented towards and open to life. That's just the fact of the matter. That's church teaching. And this is going to frustrate that. And this is why Dr. Thomas Hilgers developed NAPRO technology, which is a diagnostic work and gets to the root of the problem. So you've got the wrong doctor. I'm just telling you, you need a natural family planning doctor. I'm sure there are some that are in your area are not at too great a distance, and Pope Paul VI Institute will help you to find one. You can even go there. You can even go there to get the proper kind of diagnosis, so you know what to do. Okay.
Okay.
All right, sweetie. Thank you. Thanks for your call. Bye-bye. This really gets under my skin. But today we're talking about the rosary, and I'm very excited to go to some of our callers. I'm happy that you called in, Jill, because I'm guessing there's a lot of other women out there that are dealing with that issue, too. We're going to go to Debbie. Debbie is driving through, I think, is it, where are you, darling? Are you in Montana? You're listening on Sirius XM 130. Good morning, Debbie.
Good morning. Glad to talk to you and Connie. I'm on my way to Missouri from Des Moines, Iowa.
Oh, okay. Very good.
And I'm enjoying your show.
Thank you. Thank you.
And I really don't have a question. I was just wanting to share something with you that I've had trouble saying the rosary because I can't concentrate. Mm-hmm. Too many things going through my mind. And we had in our church last month, we had the relic of St. Pope John Paul come through, and I got to go see that. And as I walked up to his relic, they put my rosary on it, and in just a short little prayer, I just asked him to help me fall in love with the rosary again. And that was in September, and of course, October is the month of the rosary.
Right.
So I started saying it, and I, for some reason, I just can't get enough of it. And sometimes I say it twice a day, and I'm going, I don't even know this person.
Isn't that
so
beautiful?
I credit him
yes.
for helping me do that. And I go through the mysteries, and before where I kind of get lost in my other thoughts and be, like, robotic about it, I've now put myself in each mystery. And, like, if he's in the garden at that particular mystery, then I'm in the garden with him. Mm-hmm. If he's carrying the cross, I pick up that cross and help him carry it. Mm-hmm. So I'm in love with the rosary again. Mm-hmm. So I just thought I'd share that with you.
Well, isn't that a beautiful thing? And, you know, I wanted to share that you received a very special blessing through the intercession of St. John Paul II. But the blessing that you've received, I think, speaks a very big word to all of us. And what is that word? That word is that we all need to pray the rosary. Obviously, your capacity to pray the rosary and be attentive to it and to be taken more deeply into the life of our Lord Jesus Christ by way of it is an indication from heaven that this is a very, very important prayer. And so I would invite all of you out there to take Debbie's story to heart, to apply it to your own life of faith, and to ask St. John Paul II to intercede for you. I'm sure that he wants to do that. And maybe one of the beautiful gifts that he's given to Debbie was because God knew that at some point in time, on this particular day, when we have Connie Rossini with us and we're talking about the Rosary and the beautiful book that she and Dan Burke have written, he knew that she would have an opportunity to share that story to kind of light a fire under you to pick up those beads and ask for St. John Paul II's intercession to pray it more effectively and more faithfully. Debbie, thank you. You've schooled us today.
It was an amazing feeling, and I know I'm going to continue with it. That's just the feeling I have, and I just did it on the road coming into Missouri from Iowa, so I can't get enough of it. So
it's beautiful.
I love it. Thank you very much.
Well, God bless you. Connie, you know what? Debbie brings up a good question, though, I think, in the midst of her story, and that is, what do we do about those pesky distractions that often prevail upon us, whether we're praying the rosary or sitting at the Holy attending the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass or sitting in quiet prayer at home? What do we do about them?
Well, Debbie had an excellent way of doing it, which is putting herself in the mystery. St. Teresa of Avila, when she talked to her nuns about distractions, said, you know, represent Christ as close to you when you pray. So picture yourself right there with Jesus in the mysteries. And if you can't do that in your imagination very easily, that's why we have chosen in our book paintings that are designed just to do that, where they're not just paintings to look at how beautiful they are, but they are chosen to help you to see yourself there with Christ and to adore Christ. And then there are, you know, reflections. We've got 7 reflections for each mystery of the rosary so that your mind can have something to ponder while you're praying. And there's also using the clausular method, which is something that Pope Paul VI first promulgated and John Paul II encouraged people to do as well. And that's in the middle of the Hail Mary, after the name of Jesus, to insert a little clause that brings your mind back to the mystery that you're supposed to be pondering if you happen to wander. So if you're meditating on the scourging at the pillar, for example, you would say, you know, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus, who was scourged for us.
Yes.
And then going on with the Holy Mary. Yeah. And that not only highlights the name of Jesus to remind us that Jesus is the very center of the rosary, but it also keeps us from getting our thoughts wandering so that we're on, you know, the fourth mystery, and then we realize, oh, I haven't even been thinking about God since the second mystery, and I'm not even sure which mystery I'm on anymore.
Yeah, absolutely. Excellent suggestion. And that was Paul VI that gave us that suggestion, and it's recounted for us in numbers of places. And I find that to be very useful myself. It's just a great way to keep on track. Don't be overly scrupulous with these formula prayers, folks, okay? Some people say, oh, well, you can't add anything. Don't be overly scrupulous about that. There's no reason to be. You know, you've got Holy Fathers telling us it's okay to pray these prayers and personalize them in many ways. And if you're praying the rosary for a particular individual, you know, you can also insert their name, Holy Mary, Mother of God. Pray for, pray for Connie now and at the hour of her death. Amen. Those are beautiful ways to personalize the rosary, to get us into those beautiful meditations. Do want to remind you that the book is The Contemplative Rosary with St. John Paul II and St. Teresa of Avila. It is available for you at EWTNRC.com. Now, listen. And it occurs to me that while you're out there, you know, and you're bebopping around the EWTN world, sometimes God is calling us to great mission. And one of the great missions that he calls us to is to start a Catholic radio station. And I just want to tell you that there's beautiful ways in which you can get information and help about how to do that. I mentioned to you that I'm going to speak at Peace Be With You Radio this evening. And on November 7th, I'll be in Houston for our radio EWTN affiliate there through Guadalupe Radio. Radio Network. So eager to be with Joe McLean and the gang out there. Beautiful opportunity. These people felt a call on their soul and they responded to it. So if you're feeling a call, want you to get out to EWTN.com. Jack Williams is the guy that you're going to want to make contact with out there. That's Jay Williams at EWTN.com. All kinds of ways in which you can help, assist, and actually start a Catholic radio station in your area. We're going to go back to the phone lines, Connie. Actually, you know what? I want to take Teresa's question. She's out there on Facebook, and she's been waiting, and I promised we'd get out there. She says, I understand that I am supposed to be concentrating on each mystery. Do you have any suggestions for staying focused? As I recited, I find myself losing my focus. And, of course, you've just given us a great way, Connie, in which we can do that. Any other tip that you can provide for Teresa or anyone else in staying focused on the mystery that we're praying?
Well, I, you know, before I wrote this book, I did all kinds of different things to try and focus my mind. One thing I would do sometimes is think of the mystery maybe in light of stories in the Old Testament and compare the two together. So
what a good
idea. If you're meditating on the baptism of the Lord, then I would think of, okay, how was water used by God in the Old Testament? In, you know, creating the earth, in the flood, in crossing the Red Sea, and connect that to the mystery that you're working on. That way, if you are a more intellectual person, or you know, then you are really using your mind. But of course, what we want to do most of all is to move the heart. Mm-hmm. So if you can get into a little bit more affective things, think about how God is showing his love to you through the mystery.
That's right.
So in the baptism, again, you could think of the Holy Spirit coming down on Jesus. Or you could think of the gift that God gave us in baptism and, you know, what a wonderful grace that is for us. So anything to move your heart so that you are loving God better.
Yeah. You know, that's a beautiful thing what you said there. I never thought of doing that. What an excellent idea. I'm going to try that myself. But let me just tell you this about that. I think sometimes, too, we can also take that mystery and ask ourselves part of the question, what is God saying to me specifically and purposely in this mystery? What, you know, here's Jesus. He's at the baptism. There's one line from my old NAB, the New American Bible, but I have the one that precedes the translations of the 70s. At any rate, all that being said, it was before there was a lot of ISIL interaction with that particular translation. And it says that, you know, so John the Baptist, as we know, he doesn't want to baptize Jesus. He says, who am I to be doing this, you know, to you? I'm not fit to tie your sandals. And Jesus says, this is how it's phrased in my Bible, give in for now. And I love that. And I often take that into that luminous mystery, the first luminous mystery. God, give in for now. Give in to what? What are you asking me to surrender to you? How do you want me to enter in more deeply? You know, what are you saying to me? So I think that sometimes that's a beautiful thing to do. And just to go to those places in sacred scripture where that particular mystery is revealed to us through the pages of scripture, read it and let the Holy Spirit work it into you. And see what's going on there, too. So good suggestions. Thank you, Teresa, for your very good question. We're going to go back to the phone lines here in just a minute. Oh, no, we've got Anne with us. Oh, yay. She's in New Jersey. Good morning, Anne. How are you, sweetie?
I'm well, thank you.
Good.
This is your pilgrim sister, Anne.
Oh, Anne, how are you?
Yes. Yes. I'm well.
It's so good to hear your voice, sweetheart.
Well, Thank you. Well, I hear yours every day. So, but.
Thanks, Anne. Anne and I were on pilgrimage in March, right? We went to Fatima and Lourdes and all points in between. And oh my goodness sakes, what a blessed event that was.
And that is when actually I felt myself being called to a devotion to the Blessed Mother. And,
oh, how beautiful, Anne.
You know, and from that trip, it, you know, it did really start. And I've been trying to pray the rosary daily for a long time. And I have to say, praise God that for the past at least 4 months, I've been praying it every single day.
Oh, my goodness. So, and you make me so happy.
And it makes me so happy because it makes me centered. And it's just, you know, when I do get into the mysteries. And on the days I have extra time, I do a scriptural rosary where I say a little scripture passage in between each Hail Mary.
Yeah.
Okay. And then now this is going to tie into, Jeanette, you're familiar with my personal history.
I am.
I've been living every day with this movement disorder that is related to anxiety and from something that happened in my past. Now, I've been living with it for 8 years, and it has been a blessing because it brought me closer to God. So while I've been living with it, and it's not easy to live with it, but it has been a blessing. Now, here's the update is I have just learned about a brand new therapy that is a mind-body connection therapy that is supposed to really help people with traumas that are locked in the mind.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm feeling very hopeful that perhaps this is God's way, because he does promise that he will give us a way out of things.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering, while I'm hoping that is, today while I was praying the rosary, okay, I was doing the Sorrowful Mysteries, and then right before one of the Hail Marys, it came the scripture, Father, if you are willing, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, let your will be done, not mine. And I am so stuck in that place, because while I would love for this disorder to go away, if God wants me to continue using it, if he wants me to continue on with it for whatever his glory, then I'm torn. That's where I am. And I know the Blessed Mother. I've been praying to the Blessed Mother. She's my mama. And then also today on reading, I do the Divine Mercy. I get a Facebook post every day from the Divine Mercy. And today Jesus was saying to Saint Faustina, find joy in suffering. So again, I'm thinking,
let me interject here just quickly.
Okay.
You know, that's a dilemma that a lot of people have who have carried a cross for any length of time. And they so find their spiritual life growing roots in and through that suffering, because God shows them the marvels of grace that are being worked out, because they, for that period of time, have been entrusted with a portion of his own cross, and they're suffering well. But God oftentimes wants to relieve us of that suffering. I mean, Jesus eventually died on that cross and he rose from the grave, right? So we have indication of that. So there are times when God opens up new chapters in our lives and he closes out a chapter because we have suffered well. And now he's leading us on in a new way to explore there new treasures of grace. And sometimes he wants to use that testimony of ours and that ultimate healing as a sign of his presence with us. So what God would have us do is exactly, sweetheart, what you have been doing all along for all of these 8 years. You have been carrying this cross very, very well. You have mined a treasury of grace. You know, as I moved through the grieving process with my husband and began to feel joy again, it was my big concern is, what am I going to do without a cross? Don't worry about that, because when God wants you to participate in, another manner of that cross, he will bring it to you and you will know how to navigate it. You will know how to navigate it and navigate it well, because you will have been there already. But what I don't want you to do, Anne, and I love you dearly, and you know that, what I don't want you to do, honey, is to fall into a pattern here now where you're afraid to permit God to bring you a new moment in your life, because there are so many treasures for you in that new moment, and you just can't believe what he will do in it and through it if it is his will for you. And you are in his will because you're accepting the cross for the period of time that it's entrusted, but yield if he says it's time to move on, because otherwise you would be outside of his will. Okay? So I hope that helps you. And you know me, Anne. You know how to reach me, right? We can talk more later if you'd like, sweetheart. God bless you. What a joy to hear your voice today. It always brings me such happiness. I'll tell you what, Connie, we're going to try to get one more call in. We're really down to the last couple of minutes of the show. Lisa is with us in Pennsylvania. Good morning, Lisa. How are you, sweetheart?
Oh, I'm fine. How are you?
I'm very, very well, thanks. What's going on with you today?
I was wondering if you ever heard of the Flame of Love of Immaculate Heart of Mary Rosary?
I haven't heard of the rosary. Oh, well, yeah, I've heard of the change in the Hail Mary. Go ahead very quickly so that we can have Connie respond to you. Is that the question?
That's what I said. A friend of mine just showed it to me yesterday, and I was reading a lot about it, and I thought it was just amazing, and I've never heard of it before, and I was sort of wondering.
Connie, quickly, what would you say to Lisa?
You know, I haven't heard of that particular devotion. The Flame of Love, I think.
Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful, it's an approved movement of the church that really is taking the country by storm right now. Anthony Mullen is the guy that's in charge of that here. I think he's taken over the whole of it for the world at this point in time. So read up about it, Lisa and Connie. What a great opportunity to be with you today. I'm so sorry we're out of time. This is when I wish the show was 2 hours long. You've done a beautiful job. Thank you. Come back again. We want to get you all out there to EWTNRC.com to get a copy of the Contemplative Rosary with St. John Paul II and St. Teresa of Avila, penned by our guest today, Connie Rossini, and our own Dan Burke. It's available for you. It's waiting for you to order. God bless you all. Bye.